Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 11 predictions and power rankings for Survivor 41. And today we are joined by a first timer on the show. Yes, we still can do it. Lyrsa from David vs. Goliath here to join us to talk all about season 41 and how her Netflix Survivor fame has just really, really taken off here.
Sure. Hi, guys.
Big on Netflix.
Yeah, finally, almost a lesbian.
I've never heard that.
Yeah,
we got a blurred and a lesbian.
Yeah, finally, that was my goal. When I was interviewing for the show, they were like, what if you don't win? And I'm like, it's fine, because I'll become a lesbian. And then finally got it.
I love that. I'm surprised did you ever say that out on the island? I feel like they would have loved that.
I said it a couple of times, but I said so many things that were very funny and never made it to the show. Like all the time every time we won, which was really weird and barely happened, I said that I felt like a chicken nugget and they never play that shit. I did all my confessionals in English and Spanish. And they never play that. Yeah, so I curse a lot in Spanish. A lot. That's one of the reasons. It's not that they purple edit me on episode 2. It's that I curse so much that they couldn't use me for that episode. Because I was cursing.
They had to purple you because you were
one of the camera guys told me, you need to stop. I started cursing in Spanish and he started laughing. And I'm like, oh, so you understand what I'm saying? And he's like, yeah. And if you keep doing this, you're not going to be on the show because this is a family show. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, so that's why. That's one of the main reasons I'm not in some episodes, because I'm fucking cursing a lot.
I feel like that might be what's happening with Heather this season too, because I know a lot of people talked about Heather beforehand, how she had that doesn't give a shit attitude and just that Long Island mentality. And we haven't seen much of her, but when we do see her, it seems like she's got that mentality down pat, but she's probably cursing like crazy. And they don't like to bleep people out. If you really watch the show, they, especially the mother figure, they don't really want that to be your R-rated mom. They want everything to be so Sunday and G.
It's not your character. If you're the mom, moms don't supposed to curse, although they do all the fucking time. Right. Yeah. But they're not supposed to curse. So maybe that's the reason that Heather has barely been on our TVs.
Maybe. Yeah. How have you been enjoying this season now that you're a couple years removed from your season now? So it's probably a little bit easier to kind of take this in.
I have to be honest. Once you are on the show, some of the magic is lost. So now it's a different way to watch the show. But I've been liking it. I'm not liking the too many advantages. It's the first season that I'm like, it's way too much. But I like it. I have a connection on the show with Evie that was previous from when they started playing. So it got me more motivated to have to watch it. And now I'm upset because she got voted out, but I'll finish it. Obviously. It has so many great characters. I feel that it's very similar to my season in which everybody was we all had really good lines and really great moments. And I feel that this season is similar on that level to ours.
Yeah. This cast is really, really top notch, and it's a bummer that they're really being kind of overshadowed by all of the advantages. I feel like the past few weeks have been really great. There's been some really fun old school style. We're getting to see a lot of the relationships. Shannon and Ricard were just an incredible duo together, and watching them not fall apart is the wrong word, but watching it end last week was really kind of bittersweet. And I'm excited to see what Ricard is going to be able to do on his own. But losing Shan, no matter how people felt about her, she was such a force on this season. She was awesome.
I know. I'm very impressed with her gameplay. This is a person that everybody gives her the advantages. She's I'll hold them for you. And she had this trust thing that everybody believes and trusts her. And that's super difficult. I thought she was going to be at least final three because she was playing such a great game. But at the same time, as a viewer and a fellow player, I'm like, she is a stronger competitor. You need to take her out. If the rest of the people wants to be at finals, they need to get she has a really good resume. They need to get her out. So I was expecting her to be out at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like her game in the pre-merge was like unbelievable. She was making all the calls, and then it seemed like what happened was once they hit the merge, she wanted to kind of keep that power position because she was so used to having to go to tribals and be overthinking. But now it was just her and Ricard, and you have this group of two going against 10. And yeah, Liana was there too, but it's just one of those where all of a sudden the dynamic shifted, and I feel like Ricard has been able to blend in really better. Well, with that shifting dynamic where Shan had a harder time backing off. And I think if she were to play again, which I think Survivor set her up to kind of be the face for a couple seasons here, I think she'll realize what her mistake was and say to herself, okay, you don't have to be in control of every single vote. There are a couple that it's okay to just let somebody else take the reins on.
I feel that also with her and the dynamics falls back to gender. Men don't like women telling them what to do, right? Unless it's their wives. And sometimes they also like get upset about that. I feel that it was easier for Ricard to blend in with the group and get more rapport with the guys because he is a man, right? And then we have Shan that is such a powerful woman and telling them what to do. And almost every single time it is what she wants to get done, that's what's going to happen. And men don't like that shit.
There was a really cool dynamic when Shan and Ricard, when they were at that reward together, and it was cool. Just again, they've kind of gone back and forth, but have that mutual respect where she was like, I can't go to the end with you because historically men have always beaten women. And he's like, well, I can't go to the end with you because now it's a new season. Like now everyone's much more aware of that. So just watching that tension, but also like, can you blame me from both of them was just like, you don't see that very often. It was really, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was an honest conversation and real, right? Yeah. So at the best reward of the season. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys.
Yeah. That blew my mind. I'm still not over it.
Pizza in the dark.
It's better than grilled cheese. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. And the pizza, I know Brett hates the Fiji pizza, but it's not bad. I had it several times and it's good.
That's the nicest thing as anybody has ever said on this podcast about pizza. Everyone says they hate Survivor pizza, but you said not that bad. That's pretty good.
I mean, you're hungry. Also, I'm fucking chunky, so give me anything. I will fucking eat it.
What do you call those chicken nuggets? That sounds like your favorite.
That's actually okay. So I have food evokes emotions, right? And my thing with the chicken nuggets is a memory emotional situation. Right. It's not that I love to eat chicken nuggets. I rarely eat chicken nuggets, but that was actually the first thing I asked when I came out of the island. They were like, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, oh, I'm not hungry. And they're like, no, but you can eat. I'm like, no, I know, but I'm not hungry. They're like, you need to eat something. What do you want? And I'm like, do they have McDonald's chicken nuggets? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, so I'll have a steak. Which is like from one point to like chicken nuggets.
Complete steak. Opposite. A child to like a wealthy person.
I feel like McDonald's has to sponsor Survivor. Like, could you imagine like winning a Happy Meal as a reward? Like, I'd be pumped.
They have McDonald's in Fiji and they sell fried chicken. They sell like fried chicken, like KFC chicken. And it tastes exactly like KFC, only a little bit more spicy.
Wow.
I tried it. It was good. It was good for McDonald's. So
might be time to make a trip out to Fiji, Alexa. I think we finally have our reasoning.
We're really derailing this here, but I was in Finland about a month ago and we purposely went to a McDonald's there. Like, I love going to McDonald's in other countries because I love to see like what kind of stuff they have. Mm-hmm. They're the best chicken McNuggets I've ever had.
Well, it was really funny. It was funny too, because when Alexa and I, for the 38 finale, so the season after yours, Alexa flew out.
Yeah.
And I lived like right around the corner from McDonald's, and we went to that McDonald's, I think, three times in 30 hours. It was pretty ridiculous. So yeah, we would go to Fiji for this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, to be honest, I like, even though they're the fakest, I like McDonald's nuggets the best. And also, McDonald's has been the only place in which somebody was confused with my gender. I was on a drive-thru and we ordered chicken nuggets. And when I went to pay, this dude thought I was a guy. And he was going to tell me, like, the total of the amount I was going to do, sir. And it's like, $12.85, ma'am. So I got called Smam. I really like it. But, yeah.
Smam, I like that.
Smam, chicken nuggets. Yeah.
Smam, wow. Chicken nuggets. Well, on this season, so it was – we were just talking about Ricard and Shan and all of that. So with this season, it started off where the men were getting annihilated early on. And it was four of the first five boots were men. And now that we're at final seven, the men actually outnumber the women left in the game. So what do you think has changed this dynamic? Because we heard Ricard say it to Shan that now that it's 41 and it's a different thing, he's worried he won't get the votes if he goes to the end with her. What do you think has changed this dynamic where normally when we get to emerge, the women aren't getting targeted right away? It's the people like Danny and Xander who are getting the votes right away to go home. What do you think changed in the season?
I think the 50% or whatever percent that they need, the quota of the, you know, diversity that they apply for this season has a lot to do. Because now we're sadly not looking at men versus women and gender. I think it's more of like ethnicity and who are your like cultural group. And I think that's one of the things that possibly has influenced this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
I think.
Yeah, it could. I mean, we definitely had an impact on the last episode where they were discussing, do we want to get rid of Shan for these reasons that we probably haven't seen discussed ever on Survivor?
Yeah.
And so that was a big part of the conversation. It's just crazy to me that Jeannie, Sydney, Tiffany, Evie, Shan, those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's five of the last six vote outs. Where all that, and then Nasir was the other one who was thrown in there, which is you know, Nasir was one of the more interesting casting choices on this season just in general. And he went home with an idol too, just like Shan. So interesting things in the last couple of weeks.
Go ahead.
Poor Nasir. He seems such a like a nice person, like such a mellow person and super nice. I sent him a message like, oh, thank you for welcoming to the family. Like, seems such a nice guy. Like, I will like hug him. And I'm not a hugger. I'm not a hugger. I will hug Nasir.
He's so wholesome. I want to like pinch his cheeks. But he, I mean, do you think Xander is looking at Nasir and he's looking at Shan and he's like, I got to play this idol. Like, that thing's got to be burned in a hole in his pocket. Now he's only got, what, two more
shots.
I don't think he's going to play it. Maybe in the next episode, now that Evie's definitely out and the way they're, like, trying to move the things forward, I think that he possibly is going to use it next episode.
Did you guys see how shocked he was that he voted correctly? His mouth was like... That was so funny.
Might be his first time this season. He has had a terrible, terrible, terrible voting record.
Xander, someone has said that it was the first time since they voted out Eric Abraham.
Wow.
Like, because he couldn't vote for the like the entire pre-merge.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But like, yikes.
Now, does that so Lear, so when you look at this, and I know this is a discussion that comes up a lot, but do you think that that actually like affects how people will view him if he were to get to a final? Would people be like, well, you only voted correctly one time or two times? Or do you think that there's other aspects that people are going to be more focused on than that? Because we've heard this come up a lot in recent seasons.
I think that this season is different. And I think that they're going to look at other things instead of the way you voted out the people. I think because of again, because of the quota and because of after COVID and so many reasons, I think that that's going to be a less focus if he makes it to the final tribal. I don't think that's going to affect it. Yeah, he has done like some other move. I probably, if he gets to the final, I don't think he might win. I don't know. But he gave rewards. He's being nice to people. And that is like, I was watching one of the episodes, the one that Evie got immunity. And the person sitting next to me, he was like, oh, I'm going to give my spot to Erica. And she's like, oh, that's so nice. Like, there's something behind that, honey. Nobody gives their spot for, Yeah, nobody's nice on this game. If you're too nice, they want to steal your shit. So no, it's not gonna happen. There's a reason behind it.
I originally thought that he could like totally run the table if he got to the end, but now I wonder if it's like, if he gets to the end, will people say, "Oh my god, what an underdog," or will people say, like, this guy tried so many times and never got anything right. I can't really tell. It's also kind of different because this season, like, everyone knows about each other's advantages and idols. And so they're not like this secret weapon that you can like show at the end anymore. So I think that dynamic's kind of different too.
Yeah, everybody's very well aware of what everybody else has. Yeah,
everyone's like telling each other everything. It's very unsettling.
It's like... Yeah, it's like a Monopoly game. Like, I don't know how you play Monopoly, but I always had like a stash of money under the board that nobody knew, right? And then at the end, like, oh, you're broke. No, I have a lot of money and you didn't know. But now it's no surprise. Everybody knows exactly what everybody else has. Uh-huh. And people can go to tribal more prepared. That's why I am not understanding all of these life tribals. I know they're good and I know that people love them, but we have time to discuss shit before getting there.
Yeah.
It's like, why chat? Why go tan? Why strategize when you can just do it at tribal? I don't like the live tribals, but glad someone does.
They're good from time to time, but every single tribal, it's really, I was happy that last week that didn't happen. Like last Wednesday, it was just like very straightforward. They voted and that was it. Cause it's getting like ridiculous, especially the one before with Heather, like coming out of nowhere. Like, what are you doing? Just fucking vote. Don't open your mouth.
Just get it out of. Go to sleep. Y'all need to go to sleep.
It is very late. It is very late. And tribal lasts like really long hours, depending on what's going on. So sometimes it's very unnecessary. Very unnecessary.
And that one seemed like it was the definition of unnecessary.
Oh, definitely. Like, what are you doing? I would have voted her out.
That's what I thought was going to end up happening.
They're gonna turn on her.
I was very impressed that she stayed. I was like, I would have voted her out for starting like shit that she didn't have to.
So, all right. Before we get into this, there's a twist this week that's going to happen at the immunity challenge. Now, this was revealed by, I think, Redmond a long time ago. People thought this was going to happen at like 12 or something. And now it seems like it's really going to happen this week.
Okay.
Lyrsa, do you know what this twist is?
No, because I'm not watching previews or anything this season. Okay. I'm not even reading the exit interviews. I'm going super blind on this one.
Okay, I like it.
Okay, so I will not spoil what that twist is. However, it is going to happen at the immunity challenge, and it is something that could impact the first person knocked out of the immunity challenge.
Made now, up, it'll spoil it for me. I don't care.
Okay, here
you already gave me, like, you told me that something's going to happen. Just tell me what's going to happen.
So it was a big...
It's spooky.
It was a big thing that was coming up, and it was talked about a lot there. And so it definitely will impact power rankings, possibly, potentially, who knows. So essentially, they're going to be given a choice of whether they want to participate in the immunity challenge or not. Okay. But if you participate,
I don't know if there's food.
I don't know if there's food, but if you participate and you are the first person out, you have a 50-50 chance of going home no matter what. Okay. Yeah. It is. Thank you, Lyrsa. You said the words perfectly. Could you say it one more time? Just one more
That's
time.
That's bullshit.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm proud on that one.
I couldn't agree
so
more.
So why will people then participate in it?
What I am curious about, I hate it. If Jeff tells them, if Jeff's like, here's the deal. If you're the first one out, you got to flip a coin. I can live with this. But I have a strong feeling that Jeff is not going to tell them.
Is this one of those Mike White's twists that they added and consulted him? Because I'm going to text him and be like, what the fuck, bro?
Can you tell Mike White to get it together here, please?
I think Mike White tried to fix this. Wasn't he like, I don't know. But yeah, Lyrsa, can you text him and tell him?
Tell him to tell Jeff that this is bullshit.
I'm going to be like, bro, what the fuck is going on?
Please, please, what because this one is just, this one's just so far. I think already they've screwed it where you're giving people no incentive to win based on the one that screwed over Sydney. There's no incentive to win that challenge.
Exactly. Well, see, I feel that Sydney goes so screwed up by all the twists, and that's the only reason she left
only
the
game. Reason.
I think she was going to be such a great TV after, like, the merge, and she got screwed.
And she got screwed. And now we have this happening, and now this is incentivizing not competing. This is pretty much telling you, you are safer to not participate in this challenge than to participate in this challenge. Why are we incentivizing not playing and not winning and not competing on a reality TV show where the goal is to ultimately win the game, and to get there, you win things to win?
Yeah, are they're still taking the rice away, right? I think they're playing with their heads because of the food. They have more chances of playing with their heads because they're not giving them rice and they're taking it away. So I think that they're playing with that shit, them being hungry and making them like, oh, you sit down if you have food, and then there's more options to like vote you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just sit out. I mean, 100% of the time I would sit out this challenge because I'd still rather take my chances of finding an idol back at camp or being able to convince people then, unless literally nobody was going to participate and my name was on the line, and then I would just walk out there and do it. But how many people are going to do this? And what if nobody does it? Then is it kind of like that Pearl Island situation where nobody is actually safe?
But I'd actually kind of like that. Like, I think going back to if Jeff tells them exactly what the deal is, maybe no one participates and then it's a total free for all. I like that. I think that sounds fine. My concern is Jeff's going to be like, if you participate, something will happen at Dribal. And then someone's going to go home because.
Well, and I look right now, Danny has zero votes against. The only player in the game who has no votes against. If Danny were to go home because of this, it's such bullshit. Like, he gets screwed by the twist that sends home one of his two closest allies in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets screwed by this twist for participating, for being competitive. That's I mean, Larissa, you know it. Every Survivor player in the history of Survivor, they're the most competitive 550 people you're ever going
to
meet.
Yes.
How do you tell them, hey, don't compete?
Yeah, that's fucked up. We love to win, and that's one of the reasons that we make the show, because that drive that we have to win, which is very dangerous. oh, yeah, and some people don't get over shit. No money. How many years pass by? But so yeah,
who do you think, Larissa? Who do you think's safe right now with that extra info?
Yeah, who are you putting at number one as your safest person?
As my safest person right now? Okay, I'm looking at the
this
people.
One's tough because it's like you can factor it in, but not really.
Oh my god, I don't know who could be safe if something like that happened. You know what? I wish Deshaun was safe from this twist.
So you're putting one as Deshaun?
Yes. I'm putting one as Deshaun.
Tell us.
I don't think
Deshaun
would participate in this challenge if this were to come up. So I think that would automatically kind of make him safe, because I think he doesn't feel like he's in danger and he feels like he has the number. So I think he would just sit.
I think with Shan gone, I think Deshaun feels and is a lot safer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel that he now feels that he might have more control of what's going to happen. Because she shut everybody down with their ideas. And now, because they're like old buddies, apparently, they will listen more to each other. So I think that he's in a really good spot. And he's such a nice person. Mm-hmm. Like, I also want to give him a hug. And again, I'm not a hugger.
I want to hug two people in the season already.
I know. And I have hugged Evie, so that's three. So... That's three people. I will hug Ricard too, but mostly because we are both Puerto Ricans and I feel that his mom and my mom have some sort of connection. But that's
there you go.
Oh my God, his mom is hilarious. Do you see what she texted him on his Twitter?
I know. I seen it and it reminds me of my mom. Do you know that my mom comments on every fucking picture I post and she's like, you're so beautiful, just like me. Like, I'm beautiful because I just look like her.
Things of who you want to hug.
Oh, okay. So if it was my hug base, yes, I would like to hug Deshaun first.
And he's your number one.
Yes. Yes. Right now, I will have like a hug sandwich with Deshaun and Ricard.
I love that for you.
Yes. Because I feel that Deshaun will be so tender and caring and nurturing on the hub, but then Ricard is going to give me all the Puerto Rican sassiness. So, and a little bit of like swing in it and attitude. So that's my two hugs, Deshaun first and then Ricard.
Would there Ricard also be your number two in terms of the power rankings or no?
I think yes.
Okay.
I think yes, because he now has cut ties with Shan, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel that even though they were making moves together and people knew, since Shan was more vocal about gameplay, like Ricard's like vocal about ripe papaya, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. which tastes terrible, by the way. And I feel that now he can disassociate himself from that and play a different kind of game. And I think that his actual life disadvantage of hearing is helping him. Because he knows exactly what people are saying, because he can rip lips. He can disassociate himself in challenges because he... I think that it's in a weird way, this can be an advantage to him. So I think that he's my number two. He's my number two.
I think what's interesting with Ricard is getting rid of Shan could seem early, even though she had the idol and everything. And they always knew that they were going to kind of cut each other at some point or another. But now Ricard, if you look at the way that this is set up, should be able to say to either the Luvus, I'll work with you, mm-hmm. and let's get rid of Xander or Liana, who are going to be a little bit more dangerous. Or he can try to get this Xander, Erica, Heather thing going, which seems possible. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's giving himself more options now that Shan is gone. He lost a bit of his shield, but he has opportunity. And this is kind of different than when Wardog got rid of Kelly, because he got rid of his shield and the opportunity to work his way in. I feel like now there's an opportunity for Ricard to kind of decide his own game, and people might not be looking at him right now as the biggest threat because he doesn't have an idol. He's not aligned with somebody who has an idol, and he's the last remaining person from Ua. That's sometimes a really big deal, especially when you get down to a final seven, because now you can kind of pitch yourself as the wild card free agent.
Right. Yeah. He can play both teams. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you want to go?
I think he's in a really good spot right now.
So at number one for me, I'm going to go with Xander. I've been having Xander pretty high on my power rankings for a bunch of weeks now. And I just think Xander is the best position to sit at Final Three right now because of the extra vote, because of the hidden immunity idol, because people just will not flush this idol. And I think that they're going to try, and he'll play it and he'll know it's coming. And he's also at this James Clement period now where he just has to win one or two individual immunities and he's in the final four. And if he gets the final four, there's the fire making challenge. So the chances to get rid of Xander are very, very limited now. And I also think that he's good enough at challenges that if this twist, if he were to participate in the challenge, he's not going to be the first one out of any challenge. I just don't see it happening. I think he's too physically fit. I think he's proven to be really good at these challenges. So I don't think he'd get screwed by this twist.
Right.
If he gets
we know what the challenge is? What they're playing or not yet? Does he have balls?
Alexa, doesn't have balls. I don't know.
There were balls in the last
I love it.
I know. I was like, I'll just say it.
I don't know if
we'd do it again.
Hold your ball. I love it.
You know, Jeff gets so pumped whenever those come about.
I love them. I'm not sure. I know I sound like a teenager.
Balance. Oh, I do every time. I actually also have Xander at number one because I think he knows there's three tribal councils left that he can play that idol. I think he knows that the target's probably going to move to like Erica or Ricard because they're the ones who kind of made this big move. So I think Xander is in the clear, and I think he has now seen two people go home with their idols in their pockets. So he's now hyper aware of that situation.
Now, My other question is, and Lyrsa, I want to see what you think about this. Do we think that people aren't actually viewing Xander as a threat and that's why he's gotten no votes? Do we think they're just scared of the idol and that's why he's gotten no votes? Or is Xander actually playing a really, really good social game that we're not seeing necessarily, and that's why he's gotten no votes? Like, I'm trying to figure out what avenue they're trying to take us down with Xander's game right now.
I don't think it's a social thing.
Okay.
I honestly think that because he is in a minority, and in this case, in every minority, because, yeah, I feel, I'm not going to get into details, they don't see him as a threat because they think that they're running the game. So I don't think it's a social thing that's keeping him alive. It's just like they don't think that he will win any votes at the end if he makes it far, even though if he makes it. So I don't think it's a social thing.
And do we think, though, so if he gets to the end and he pitches this, and I don't know, I mean, I think that he doesn't have, I think he has an okay chance against some people, but I don't think that he's by any means guaranteed to win. But if he gets to the end and can kind of talk about these things of playing, like not having a vote for some votes, like he, I guess it was really only one vote, but he didn't have a vote for the Vochi vote. He had to make sure he had the idol, and like, he's always been on the wrong side. Do we think that's going to help him at the end, or you think on this season it's actually going to hurt and they're going to try to favor loyalty and being in control of the direction of the game? Because it seemed like Sham was very angry with Deshaun, but not very angry with Ricard, and it felt like it was a loyalty thing there. And has Xander been loyal to anybody all season? I don't think so.
I don't think so. And not in like a malicious way.
Yeah.
I think that the original yellow, was it? No.
Yasa?
What's the name of it? Yasa. I don't think any of these Yasa people has any loyalty in them. Let's start with that. Because Liana
Evie included?
Is, well, she kind of like threw some words around too, right? But Liana loves to flip-flop. I mean, the only person she was loyal is to Shan, right? But she was so ready to dismiss her previous tribe mates. When usually, unless they have shown you, you keep with your people until you can no longer keep them, right? And she was so eager to flip to the other side. And that's scary to me. I would have voted her out a while ago because it's scary. So I completely forgot what we're asking about because I got concentrated on people flipping around.
No, that, I was just wondering if you thought that Xander had been loyal to really anybody this season because he has been playing such a solo game.
No, he's playing for himself and he has worked with other people just to keep him alive in the game. But I don't think that he has. I think that the most loyalty that he has was to Evie. That got a little bit severe on like what, 3 tribals ago when all that came out. But I feel that he's just playing a solo thing and trying to survive with whatever he has.
Yeah. Alexa, who do you have at 2?
Number 2, I have Deshaun. I know he's come up a lot.
That's who I have too.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I think like he will maybe cool down a little bit because Shan isn't there and they're not going to have their tension anymore. He was also not in control of this vote. And I think that's actually a good thing because I think he can now easily point to Ricard and say, okay, well, Ricard just kind of like blew this alliance up. It was his idea. He can point at Erica, who he's kind of wanted out for a bit of time. He can easily point out other people to get rid of right now. I think that will keep him safe for a bit. I don't think he's like completely in the clear, but I think he's fine for the short term.
Yeah, I have him at 2 as well. And I actually, like, if I'm looking at this right now heading into the final 7, I think Deshaun is the winner of this season. Now, that could easily change after this week or the next week, but right now, I'm kind of on board with that. I think he's gotten the personal content that we haven't gotten from people like Danny. I think he's in a really good position on like really any way you slice it. Deshaun's in a good position, unlike maybe Heather or Erica or Ricard. They could kind of go either way. And so when I'm looking at this, I also feel like, yeah, Shan might be really angry with Deshaun right now, But is anybody else really angry with Deshaun right now? And if the answer to that is no, which it's probably no, considering everybody did just vote Shan out, and I don't think the jury has any hatred towards Deshaun, I think Deshaun could definitely get the votes at the end that are needed to win. So if I'm looking at it from here, I'd say he's who I'd pick to win with three episodes left, but we'll see how that actually shakes up, because now this will be a turning point for him. Without Shan, if he continues to have arguments with people and kind of go at people, then that might be telling that nope, nobody's going to actually end up voting for him if he sits there at the final three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Lear, so who you got at three?
Okay, who I got at three? Let me see. You know what? Weirdly enough, I think Erica is looking good right now. Mm-hmm. I kind of like dismiss her gameplay half the game, half the season, because I wasn't seeing her except when she smashed that hourglass. Stupid yeah. twist. Mike, we have to talk. But I feel that she is in a good position right now. At least there's more definition of where she's going and who she's working with or willing to work with. And I think that she had a lot of points given to her last week when she actually helped make the voting out Shan possible. Mm-hmm. So I think that I can have her on as my third right now. Right now, mm-hmm. I think she's in a really good spot.
Yeah, it's like a slow burn with her. She was mm-hmm. nothing at the beginning, and now it's starting to build. And I mean, if you just looked at the post-merge, she's probably played the best game. Now, she's also mm-hmm. been the most focal point of it because of that hourglass twist, which happened. But she is starting to play a really, really good game, and her name comes up, but it's starting to feel kind of similar to with Xander. Are they missing their opportunity to get rid of Erica? They just keep saying, we're going to get rid of Erica. We're going to get rid of Erica. She's sneaky. We don't trust her. But they keep on letting her go.
Yeah.
And now she's in a position where she's at final seven, and she also has a lot of avenues. Seems like her and Heather are pretty tight, even though we haven't seen Heather at all. They could go with Luvu, or they could go with Ricard or Xander. They have a lot of options, and I agree with you.
Yeah, right now she's in a good spot. She can play with anybody. She can, like, you can say, has shown the Deshaun Danny group that she can work with them. Also, she can work with Heather. Like, I think she's in a really sweet spot right now. She mm-hmm. should, like, exploit that position right now and make more moves.
Yeah. Yeah. I also have Erica at three. So I gave my speech. Alexa, who do you have at three?
I actually have Ricard at three, and I have Erica at four. I actually think, even though Ricard, I think it's really like kind of 50-50 on Ricard and Erica, who can take the credit on the Shan thing. But Ricard, I think, will be able to bounce back from like being seen as the dragon slayer to Shan. I also think in terms of this challenge, he's proven to be very good in challenges. So even if he doesn't win it, if he chooses to participate, even if he doesn't win it, I can't imagine that he would be the first person out. And I just think he has a good sense of like calmness and can always, and he can now always point to Erica. Like, sure, it was like, mm-hmm. I want to scare her to Shan, but Erica's the one who came up with the idea to split the votes. So I think he'll be okay. I don't think Danny and Deshaun are going to come like full on gunning for him. But I think like Liana might want to get rid of him, but I don't really know what agency Liana has right now. So Xander mm-hmm. and then Erica, I also think Erica's in an okay position, but I wanted her like kind of more in the middle just because her name has come up a lot. And I think there does come a point where that person does get voted out.
Yeah, yeah. It happens.
Yeah. And something with Ricard here. See, this is what frustrates me about this twist that's coming up. Imagine if Ricard would be the one who got screwed by that twist this week. Mm-hmm. After him and Shan just went through this whole season together, the last two remaining UWA, they do everything together. He has this great post-merge so far. He finally gets rid of his closest ally because it is ultimately what's best for his game. What a sizzle out of a storyline that would be if it were to be Ricard this week who got screwed by that twist. It's such a short-sighted twist. That's what frustrates me so much. Mm-hmm. I ultimately don't think it's actually going to screw anybody this season. If it does, it would be Heather, but I think we're too deep in the game. If that was going to be the last thing that we see on this episode, I think we'd probably still have eight people left in the game, not seven people. And they would have done a double boot here or something like they would have finagled it. So I just think, like, what are they going to get rid of somebody halfway through the episode? And then we're going to have four people going into the finale. That just seems outrageous. So that's just what frustrates me. I have Ricard at four. I think Ricard is safe this week, but that's where my irritation comes. I think about the worst case scenarios with some of these twists. And granted, they don't come true all the time, but that's what you have to be thinking about when you put a twist into effect, because sometimes you do get the worst case scenario. And when that happens, it really can ruin a season, and it can ruin, you know, just people's chances of winning the money or winning the game or gaining the popularity needed to become, you know, kind of the star of a show. And a lot of people nowadays, I mean, hey, it's 2021. Like, people are using this to jumpstart livelihoods half the time. So, like, what are you going to do? I think that it's something that needs to be taken into account. Like, you can't just be using everybody like a puzzle piece at this point and saying, well, screw it. They knew coming out here it's Survivor, but that's not Survivor. Making somebody go home because they decided to compete in a challenge and they lost, that's not what Survivor is. The social aspect is just being thrown out the window with that.
Yeah. We're also throwing out the challenge aspect. Like, now you're saying pick doing a challenge or don't do a challenge. Mm-hmm.
That's boring. There's no challenge.
It's not like you can sit out and eat a bowl of chicken nuggets. It's like you sit out and still maybe go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's no. Yeah. Just there are no chicken nuggets. Why sit down?
Why sit down?
I don't know.
I'm getting so hungry.
Larissa, who do you have it for?
Four. Okay, wait. What do we have? I know who I have at seven, but at four, I think Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put Danny at four, mostly because he has a solid game right now, alliance-wise, so I think that he will be pretty safe, and he's been very mellow and chill. So I think that he, from all of them, I think that he's also pretty safe, and he has a chance to get to the final too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love Danny. Yeah, he's so nice. I will give him like a sidewise kind of like hug. So yeah,
an awkward side hug.
Yeah. Like, hey, buddy.
So, well, he's just so muscular, you know. Like, you gotta.
Got a really
chiseled abs and pecs.
No, he can like snap me in half. We're not careful. I think Danny has been playing a really good game. He's very calm and collected. And obviously he's an NFL player, so he has strategy in him. And yeah, he's four. He's my four.
I really like Danny. Unfortunately, Danny is my five. I have like, I'm starting to move into people who I think can go home. And honestly, I'm putting the twist, like the next two people I have, I think it's a combination of the twist and their positioning in the game. Danny's been super vocal about hating these kind of twists. So I feel like that might be production kind of winking at us and saying that they're about to totally screw the guy who hates this the most. However, the reason I don't have him at the bottom is because I think he has a great social standing. He hasn't received any votes. Nobody seems to be talking about the fact that he hasn't received any votes. He's really good at challenges, but not seeming like he's an Aussie. He's got Deshaun, and he can always use Deshaun as a meat shield because Deshaun's been a bit more outspoken. I think he's in a great position, but I think he might get hit by this.
I'm really hoping you're wrong. I also have Danny at five. I like love Danny. And it's funny because when I text with people just in general, it seems like Danny is really standing out to everybody. Mm-hmm. I think Deshaun and Shan have polarized people where that people really, really love them, or they started to get really annoyed with them over the last couple weeks. I think Ricard just has a polarizing personality. I don't think there's really anything you can do about that. I think that's just how Ricard is. But I think with Danny, he's been universally loved. And it's hard for me to kind of tell everybody when they text me that. Like, I really think he has zero chance of winning at this point because of what we're getting from him. Like, Lyrissa, you were on 6-7 episodes of Dave vs. Goliath. I feel like we got more personal content from you than we've gotten from Danny. I feel like we've had no personal content. He's getting confessionals. He's talking about things. He's definitely involved in the game. But, like, what's Danny's home life like? What's his struggle? What is Danny overcoming? What is Danny looking to achieve? What hardship is in? We know hardships that Sarah went through with her grandmother during COVID, and she was in one episode. I don't know any of this about Danny, and that's where I think he just has a chance of winning. However, I will say that based on the fact that he is – as big as he is, an ex-NFL player, looks like he should be a target right away. He hasn't won immunities, and he still receives zero votes. He's playing such an unbelievably impressive game. And, like, people like Joe Anglum need to take notes on this game because Joe got voted out right away every time that they get rid of him, except for a second chance. Danny's not having that happen. So what is Danny doing right? And he doesn't – everybody knows he doesn't have an idol. Everybody knows he doesn't have an extra vote.
No.
But he's doing something right to ensure that he is not getting any votes. There's something very impressive about that.
There's so many things that happen that nobody gets to see because every episode is like 72 hours of film, and then it's just 40 minutes. So something must be going on that we haven't seen that has kept him there, like, in a really sweet spot, even though we don't know anything about him, like, personally, through the show. Because if you Google him, there's, like, a lot of things out of him.
Yeah.
But from the show, like, I don't know who this person is, right? I don't follow NFL. I think it's a ridiculous – I'm sorry. I know this is – I can see that this is your sport. I see some flags in the back. I think football is very stupid. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's super homoerotic. You have a bunch of guys with spandex jumping on top of each other for a fucking ball. That's what I said on my audition, by the way.
And Lisa, I would love to introduce you to the sport of wrestling.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's super gay too. I mean, that involves more sweat also. And, like, different. Oh, that's super gay too. And you
did you get to meet John Mundo or no?
Yeah. I met Johnny. Okay. Oh, he's a sweetheart. When I was engaged, we decided that he was the one that was going to marry us, but he had to wear this Slamtown jacket.
Nice.
Fortunately, I'm not engaged anymore, so he's not going to marry me. But yeah, we wanted Johnny to marry us. Wrestling, super gay too. Super gay. you know what's funny? That America loved this, like, heavy sports with men sweating and jumping on top of each other. But a lot of you guys are so homophobic, and I don't get it. Like, you're watching guys, like, doing this shit, but that's very gay to me. But whatever, this is not the podcast for that.
Last question. Did you tell Johnny Mundo your take on his sport?
No. I didn't tell him, but we made so much fun of Slamtown all the time.
It's a great place.
First of all, when I saw the jacket and, like, his sweater or whatever it was, I don't know who this person is, right? And I'm just seeing Slamtown. And since I don't know who this person is and that he's a wrestler and he slams people, I thought he was talking about slamming girls into his bed. And I'm like, this is so fucking disrespectful. How we have this person with this jacket? That's, like, so misogynist. I went on this, like, trip on my head, and then when we got there, they were like, oh my god, Johnny Mundo, he's a wrestler. I'm like, I don't like his jacket. I'm like, he's the mayor of Slamtown. I'm like, that sounds terrible. And then explained it to me. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. So it's nothing sexual or against women or, like, you know, overpowering women. Okay, so I like him. He's such a nice guy, such a sweetheart.
He is.
Yeah, and Alexa, he's white, and I have too.
Alexa and I have a very unflattering picture of Alexa and I with him and his wife, and we look much worse than them. That's all.
And we look about half their size.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're lucky. Huge.
Oh, my gosh. Who's your number five, Lyrissa?
It's Danny. Didn't I just say that?
Oh, no, you had Danny at four.
Oh, number five. Okay. Oh, fuck.
You went Deshaun, Ricard, Erica, Danny. So you have Xander, Heather, and Liana left.
I'm going to play Xander. Mm-hmm. Because he's playing solo at this point, right? He does have that idol that will help him at least survive one extra tribal if his name comes up. He's really good at challenges. We have seen that. He's really good at giving rewards and his spot on other stuff to win some, I guess, jury votes at the end. But I don't feel that he has the strong of connections and people working with him that will grant him something higher. Mm-hmm. But because of his idol, he doesn't have to be super at the bottom. So yeah, Sander is my fifth. And I don't, I haven't seen him like saying anything really bad or terrible at other people. He's just like solo. That's his problem. He's solo. He didn't make enough good connections when the merge happened or that we seen it to grant him a higher spot. I think that's the main situation with him.
Mm-hmm. We all have this.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think people like him.
I know that a lot of models have been hitting him up. So that's all I know.
How do you know I texted him, Larissa? How do you know that?
I can't tell you. I can't tell my sources. Yeah, can't tell. But he's living his best life for sure. So yeah, he's at my fifth right now.
So we all have the same bottom two. We're all in agreement with this, either with this twist or with the blow up that's coming from Liana. Either Heather or Liana are toast. Larissa, I'll start it with you because you had the biggest facial reaction to that. Who are you putting at six and who do you think is going home this week?
You know what? I think that between these two, Heather has more chances to stay than Liana. Because Liana, baby nugget, we have to talk. You decided to just flip to the other side and forget about your original tribe mates, which to me is a very faux pas about loyalty, right? I mean, this is the people you started with. I get it. At some point, you need to cut yourself out, but you were so quick to do that, right? And then your super strongest connection was Shen. And I get why you had that connection, right? And when I was rewatching the episode early, I kind of like connected with them and was like, you know what? I would have been in the same spot if Elizabeth and I would have been put in that position, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel for her, but I think that she was the connection between the other parts of the alliance. It was Shen, right? Shen was the one that pulled her in. Now she doesn't have Shen. She was crying like a baby because Shen is not going to be there. And I feel that she burned her connections with Sander. Definitely. She hates his face. She hates this guy. I don't know why, but she hates him. And then she doesn't feel happy with Deshaun and Danny because they voted out Shen, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that right now, she has more chances of going home than Heather. Because the only thing that we have seen about Heather is that she decided to go live when nobody wanted to go live, right? And even though she has virtually no connections except maybe Sander, she hasn't been that emotional about situations. So I think that because of that, I will place Liana at seven and then Heather at six.
Yeah, I have the exact same thing, and I think for the same reasons. And Alexa, there you go. So we all are in agreement. It's Liana. I just feel like Liana has nowhere to turn. And I think now that Shan's gone, she put all her eggs in the Shan basket, and now Shan's gone. So now who do you go back to? Can't go back to Xander. None of the Luvus are going to want to work with you. Maybe Danny and Deshaun, but it seems like that alliance is now done with Shan being out. And they probably know that Liana was the one who was going to turn with Shan, that was going to happen that way if it was going to work out. I just don't see her being able to get her footing here. And then, I mean, Heather, maybe she gets screwed by the twist, but if she doesn't get screwed by the twist, why would you get rid of Heather now? My biggest thing is, how does Heather not make final three at this point? Because she's not going to win, and everybody knows she's not going to win unless she's getting Kelly Wigglesworth edit from way back in Second Chances, where all of a sudden we just hear, we got to get rid of her because she's going to win. Like, there's no way. So Heather's, I think Heather is just like, I'd be surprised if she doesn't make final three, but because of this twist this week, I feel like we got to assume that she's going to be on the chopping block at least for this one.
Yeah, Heather's sort of in the position. It's like when Sunday was voted out and everyone was like, mm-hmm. he's going to win. And we were like, but you didn't show anything about her. Mm-hmm. I also think that Heather has like quieted down a bit the past few weeks. So I think that's making her less intimidating versus Liana, who's probably about to be super pissed that Shan went home. And also when you factor in the challenge, Heather is probably going to say like, I'm not winning this thing. Mm-hmm. Liana might feel that there's pressure on her. So Liana might participate. And I think Liana has been like solid in challenges, but who knows how many people are going to be in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
I think that a Heather is a good candidate for third place, to be mm-hmm. honest, if she keeps playing this way or not playing. I think that, yeah, she can be a potential number three.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think she's got zero vote finalists kind of written all over. She's getting a very Troyzan type edit from Game Changers, where everybody else is doing a lot and Troyzan just kind of didn't seem like he was doing anything wrong, but he wasn't getting any screen time. And then he got, you know, his butt kicked at the final tribal with Brad and Sarah. I could easily see something happening just based on what mm-hmm. we're seeing, where Erica Deshaun are sitting there at the end with Heather and the other two just get all the votes. So why, like, you know, she just gets that zero vote finalist edit. And I don't think that this would be one of those instances where, like, Julie Rosenberg, sometimes it feels like she just got no votes because there was just a disconnect there, and it might be because she was an older woman or something. I don't feel like that's the case with Heather here. I think that Heather really has had no control over where this game has been going the entire time. And I think mm-hmm. everybody else from that original Luvu tribe has kind of guided her through it. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but that's certainly how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Everyone thinks Liana's going home.
Well, yeah, we all think Liana's going home. So, Lyrsa, here's my last question to you. Before this podcast, you said Evie was your winner pick, and then Evie obviously went home. So who do you have winning the season now? Like, who do you think's going to pull it out?
So my top players were, from the beginning, Evie and Ricard. Obviously, I stick with my queer people and Puerto Rican people. But now I'm feeling either Deshaun and Danny might win this season. Mm-hmm. I have one of them winning and maybe on the second place, Ricard. I don't know, because Ricard has been so vocal mm-hmm. from the moment his name was released. And mm-hmm. and when you do not win, right, you don't say shit because you want to get called back, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, because of his social interactions, he is either a winner or go really far. And that's why he's saying whatever, because he knows he's going to make great TV. And regardless, he might get called back, right? Yep. But yeah, I'm seeing either one of them. Danny, Deshaun, I have in the same spot. And then another option, Ricard.
Ricard really does feel like he's the only one who's been super vocal on this season. Like, I think, yeah. I mean, Sydney obviously just went like, here's my middle finger and you guys can do what you want with it. But she picked up as it started going on a little bit. And then once she was gone, she just doesn't care anymore. But Ricard, I mean, from the minute that it was, hey, I'm going to be on this season, it was like, there's Ricard. There he is. And that has not been the case with really anybody else, because I know they've tried to shut down a lot with social media and things like that. But I don't know. I always think it's annoying how CBS sometimes in these more recent seasons, it's trying to kind of like, be like, no, don't say anything because we know you're not happy with how it played out. Like, then stop doing the stupid shit that they're going to be so unhappy about. Like the Sydney thing, you have to know whoever gets screwed by that twist is going to be very, very angry.
Right.
In Edge of Extinction, if the winner was voted out third and comes back and wins the game, you have to know everybody's going to be very, very angry. So don't do that stuff anymore. And then we'll go back to the 37 days where everybody's just all happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah, I think they have so many rules also, like for social media and contacting people. With us, it was more of like, I mean, we never follow the rules. These people followed them, except Ricard, right? Yeah. You're not supposed to add anybody. They tell you you're not supposed to add anybody until like CBS releases your name. And everything has to be at on CBS's timeline, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I feel that he gets to the final because he has not followed the CBS's timeline and he doesn't care. He's very out there.
And he hasn't hasn't gotten a bad rap for it, it doesn't seem like, in any way. Like, obviously, we all know from your season with Alec and Kara, like, Alec got, you know, so screwed on that. Like, we haven't heard anything about Ricard being in trouble for anything, because I think we would know by now.
Yeah.
They usually take things, like if you were a kid, they take things away if you break the rules. But nothing has, to my knowledge, nothing has happened to Ricard. So that's one of the reasons I think he's like, I got really far, so fuck you guys. I'm going to place this place anyway. So,
yeah.
That's my main reason. Mm-hmm. He's so sassy. I love it.
It's going to be exciting to see how he bounces back this week.
Is he still fighting with Russell? Because I know there was a feud there and they were like fighting. And I honestly, I don't follow Russell. I have him on mute.
We're not really on Twitter that much. So we're probably the wrong people to ask. But I'm sure if they're fighting, it's a certainly exciting one.
Oh, yeah, it was. I read about it, but I'm like, I'm not going to invest my time on this. It's too much.
They don't seem like the types of, people that are headstrong and would fight, though. You know, that's not the personalities, I guess.
Really? Is this live? And people see my face because my face is saying, yeah, sure. that's what I have right now. Definitely Heather is not going to win.
Yeah.
Sorry, Heather. Mm-hmm. Love you, but
we can all see that. Yeah. Well, Lyrsa, it was great having you on. Appreciate you taking the time, coming out first time. Now we've gotten like almost half your cast or more at this point now, 37.
Nice. Really, who do you really haven't nice have?
Who haven't we had?
Yeah.
The whole final three.
Really?
Yeah. So the whole final three, but then after that,
so they're like gods and goddesses.
Yeah, that's the problem.
We haven't asked them in a while. It might be worth shooting out a couple DMs.
Yeah.
I know that Angelina has a baby now, so it's more complicated for her. And I think that Nick is running for some sort of like political.
He's gonna come on our podcast so he can win, obviously. We're gonna get him like 1,000 viewers. Probably zero from the Kentucky area.
Mike White just did the White Lotus. So they're all busy. Like we
get.
Yeah, Mike didn't even want to hang out with us on our finale, so it is fine. I love him. We're good. But he did his own thing and didn't hang out with us. And I get it. I would have loved to hang out with Angelina Jolie than to crew, but and whatever. So we need to make that happen. Final three people. Have you Natalie? Natalie's hilarious.
We haven't had Natalie, but I've met Natalie so many times. And Natalie's done she's like reached out to us and communicated with us sometimes on
Instagram. Could probably contact her too. Yeah, we'll message some.
We'll start doing some work here, Lyrsa.
We've clearly been slacking.
You should have Natalie. Yeah. She's hilarious. Unbeknownst, I think people know now. Natalie and I are really good friends. I mean, she's one of the few people I still stay in touch with. And she's so nice and funny. We really like her. So whatever you saw on TV, it's not real, people. Reality TV is not real. But
that's true. Sure.
Well, yeah. Alexa, take us home.
We are going to be back on Wednesday, Phil and Alexa, just the two of us, 9:05 right after the episode. Final seven, so only a couple more weeks left. We have this week, next week, this week, following week, and then we're hitting the finale. So we're really, really finishing strong here. Phil and I are going to be recording our Q&A and our retrospective for our patrons. We're going to be recording those tomorrow, so stay tuned. Really coming in at the end of the month. Lyrsa, thanks so much for coming on. This was great.
Yeah, anytime. I'm always available. Full of anxiety, but always available.
Hey, that's the way to be. Thanks, Lyrsa.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.